Romans 5, verses 1 to 5, and can be found on page 917. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The gospel reading is chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. If you are able, would you stand for the gospel, please? I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the word of the Lord.
While we stand, let's pray. Gracious God, we long to hear from you this morning. We are here because of you. And we pray that you would fill my heart and mind and mouth with your words. May they be living words and open our heart to receive them. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. It's so good to be here. It's good to have a opportunity to worship with you, Holy Trinity and St. Catherine's. It's good to come together. And it's good to come together every Sunday, but it's good to come together, particularly on Trinity Sunday and in this place. But Trinity Sunday is kind of an awkward one. You may have sat through many Trinity Sunday sermons, I have. And the vicar, you wouldn't do this, Sherry. But I've heard vicars try and explain the Trinity in a way that makes sense. And actually, you're just on to a loser right there, because if anyone can explain God, then they've missed the point. And so be wary of any tidy explanation of how the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are together, three persons and one God. There is no tidy explanation for that. And we shouldn't try and tidy it up or stress ourselves about thinking, I don't understand how God can be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons, one God. I don't understand. Of course you don't understand. But that shouldn't be a barrier to faith. We don't understand God. God is always beyond our attempts to explain him. But God hasn't left us in the dark. God chose to reveal himself to us. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but had God not chosen to reveal himself to us, we wouldn't know God. It isn't as if, you know, one of us was hiding somewhere and if we looked really hard for that person, we'd find them. If God chose not to reveal himself to us, we wouldn't find him. We just wouldn't. We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be thinking about God. We sense God. We search for God. In fact, we find out God is looking for us, calls us. Because God has revealed himself to us. It's that way round. God has revealed himself to us. And if you think about your journey of faith, think, when did you start thinking, is there a God? I wonder if that God can be known. I wonder if that God knows me. All of that process of thought and finding God comes from God, actually. God calls you towards himself. If he didn't, you wouldn't be here this morning. God looks for us because he's merciful and kind and compassionate, and he made you and he knows you and he loves you. So you're here this morning because of God, not by accident or by coincidence. God has revealed himself to us. And actually, as we read the Bible, we find out that God reveals himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not three separate gods, not a God who is the Father, another God who is the Son, another God who is the Spirit. It's not that. And neither is it one God with three facets, like just essentially one God who sometimes is Father, sometimes Son, sometimes Holy Spirit. It's not that either. Three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Yes, that's a mystery. No, I'm not going to try and explain it anymore. But when we read the Bible, that's what we see. God is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In this morning's gospel reading, which we just heard, all three persons of the Trinity are present. I'm going to read it to you again. So it's in John's gospel, and Jesus is speaking. So there's the Son. There's one of the persons of the Trinity, Jesus. And he is saying to his disciples, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, there's another person of the Trinity. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he won't speak on his own. He'll speak whatever he hears, and he'll declare to you the things that are to come. And he will glorify me because he'll take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. There's the Father. There's the third person of the Trinity. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So there's Jesus the Son speaking. He says, I'm going to send the Spirit of truth. And he talks about the Father. This is how the early church began to realize, we know Jesus. We're filled with the Spirit. And Jesus spoke to the Father. God is three persons, one God. Because Jesus said, the Father is in me, I'm in the Father, you are in me, we are together. It's a mystery, but it's a powerful truth. We know that after his death and resurrection, Jesus ascended to the Father. We heard this reading recently. When Jesus had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were facing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white stood by them and said, Men of Galilee, why are you standing looking up to heaven? This Jesus who has been taken from you to heaven will come back in the same way you saw him go. So Jesus has ascended to heaven. The disciples saw him leave. He's gone to be with the Father. And we're told that one day he will come back. But just before this happened, Jesus said to his disciples who were worried that he was leaving, of course they would be, they said, why are you leaving us? And he said, it's better for you that I go to the Father because then we'll send the Comforter to be with you, the Spirit of truth. He said to them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you'll be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. So Jesus returned to the Father, sat down at the right hand of the Father, and the Father and the Son together send the Spirit. And in today's reading, Jesus described the Spirit as the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth, which is a wonderful thing in a world full of untruth, full of fake news. Jesus says he'll send the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth, to live in us, to shape us. The Spirit of truth. Come to us, Spirit of truth. We see the Spirit throughout Scripture. If you open your Bible at page 1, you don't need to do this now. In fact, page 1 is probably the contents page. But if you open your Bible at the beginning of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1 reads like this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form. It was void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. The Spirit of God is there right at the beginning. The Spirit of God. That's where we first see the Spirit. And throughout the Old Testament, we see the Spirit poured out on individuals to do particular jobs, but not on everyone. So if you know the story of Gideon, who was sent to rescue the Israelites, in the book of Judges it says this, Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet and summoned the Israelites to follow him. So all the way through the Old Testament, we see the Spirit being given to a person to do a particular job God's Spirit comes, strengthens them for that task. They do the task in God's strength, and that's it. The Spirit isn't on everyone else. The Spirit is present in that individual for that task. But in the New Testament, all of that changes. The Spirit comes in a new and different way. Last Sunday, if you were in church, you will have heard about the Spirit filling all the disciples. It says they were all together in one place, 120 of them. And there was a sound like a rushing wind. It wasn't the wind, it said it was like a rushing wind. And there were tongues as of fire. It didn't say there were tongues of fire, they didn't get burnt. Tongues like fire. So the sound like wind, tongues like fire, and they were all filled with the Spirit and able to speak in ways that meant those who were listening could hear them in their own language. They were given power to witness to Jesus. What had changed? What was different? Why is it that in the Old Testament, the Spirit is poured out on individuals, and in the New Testament, the Spirit is poured out on everyone? What's changed? What's different? Who is different? Who has arrived? Jesus. The answer in church is always Jesus. Because of his life, his death, his resurrection, everything had changed. Through his death on the cross and his resurrection, Jesus defeated the power of sin and overcame death. This is good news for us today. He opened the way to life. Everything is different. And as a result of what Jesus did, things between God and human beings are completely different than they had been before Jesus came and gave his life. Jesus makes it possible for us to have a relationship with God, to call God Father. And he says that even though he's going to the Father, he won't leave us alone. He'll send the Spirit to fill us. He sends the Spirit of truth. And when the Spirit comes at Pentecost, it's not a one-off. It's not just for that day only to help the disciples to do that speaking to everybody and converting a whole load of new people, and the church grows from 120 people to 3,000 on day one. How amazing would that be? But it wasn't just for that day. The Spirit of God keeps coming, keeps being poured out on the people of God, on individuals as we give our lives to Christ and say, Lord, come and fill my life. I want to follow you. Please forgive my sins. Help me to follow you. Fill my life. God does. God doesn't hide from us. We don't have to persuade him. God comes and fills us with the Spirit on individual people who follow Christ and on the community, the whole community. From that day forward, the Spirit is being given day by day by day, moment by moment by moment, filling our hearts and lives. Not to give us a spiritual high, not to make us feel spiritual things, but to give us strength for living, to help us understand what it means to follow Jesus, to comfort us, to give us wisdom. These things for life. If you are following Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God is given to you. And the measure for knowing whether that's true or not is not your feelings. You can't say, oh, I feel the Spirit, or I don't feel the Spirit. That isn't how God, well, sometimes you might do. You might feel, God might give you a deep sense of deep peace or euphoria. That might happen, of course. But that isn't the measure. If those things, if you don't feel like that, doesn't mean the Spirit of God isn't there. The Spirit of God works in the deep places of our hearts. And we know that's true because it tells us in the Bible and God is trustworthy. So God is present with us. Never doubt that. Never, ever doubt that. Whatever you go through, whatever happens around you or to you, God is always present, always faithful, never changing, full of love. Always giving you enough strength to bear it, whatever it is. Enough wisdom to understand what to do next. Enough grace for that moment. Not for your imagination of the future, but for this moment now that you are in. Because God is only ever present now, because God is. God isn't present for your imagination in the future. God is present for you now, at this moment where we exist together with God. When God told his name to Moses, can you remember what he said? When Moses said, who should I say sent me? I am. God names himself as I am. I am present. I am here. I am with you. I am forever. I am. Not I might be one day. I was back then. I am now. the Spirit of God is present with us. How should we respond to this morning, people of God? I would suggest by opening, whatever you've come here holding, feeling, carrying, by opening our hearts afresh to the Spirit of God. God knows what you need. He knows what you're carrying. None of it's a secret to God. All your ways are seen by God. God knows you and loves you. And I suggest that we open our hearts afresh to God and say, I want you, the life giver, the one who made me, to fill me afresh, to give me strength for today, to guide me step by step as I have to move through the rest of this day and into the week to come, to give me understanding and grace to be with those I struggle with, or whatever it is, whatever's going on for you. Just lastly, before I invite us to actually, I'm going to ask us to pray together. In our reading today, Jesus, which was very short, Jesus said to the disciples, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. That's an interesting thing to say, isn't it? I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. I've thought a lot about that over the years. And actually, for me, it shows that Jesus really knows people, that we can only cope with so much at once. Particularly big things. We can't cope with very much truth at once. We can't cope with very much drama at once. Jesus knows that. He says, I've got lots of things to share with you, but you won't be able to bear them now or hold them. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he'll lead you into all truth. That day by day by day, over the span of your life, the Spirit will teach you what you need to know in a way that you can bear and understand and hold. God knows you, and he knows your capacity. So he'll teach you at the pace you can go at, not at the pace that someone else can go at. So that reminds us it's a lifetime's journey, right? You don't need to understand everything today, or even by next week. You know, all you need to know right now is I know that God exists, that he sent Jesus, who's opened the way for me to enter life, and I have faith. That's all you need to know today. And then as you commit yourself to that and open your heart to God day by day and say, Lord, I'm yours. Please help me, teach me, lead me. God will give you what God knows you can manage day by day, and you will grow in your understanding and you will grow in your knowledge over the span of your life in a way that's paced for you because God is kind and gracious. So don't be impatient with yourself. It takes a lifetime, and not just this lifetime, and then the age to come, which has no end, to understand who God is and who he has made you to be. So, that just means as well, by the way, being a Christian can't ever be boring. Right? You've got a lifetime of things to discover about God. Just really upsets me when people are like, oh, Christianity, isn't that a bit boring? Church, isn't it boring? It should be the least boring thing. This is about God, the life giver, the one who created everything, who made you and everyone sitting in this room. How can that be boring? And God has got new things to teach you beyond the edges of your current understanding, way beyond the edges of it. So it can't be boring. There's much, much more, much, much more. So I'm going to invite you to stand. That's it. I've said everything I think I'm going to say. Hopefully somewhere in there, God has got something for you to take away. All right? But I'm going to invite us to stand as you are able. And I'm going to say a prayer inviting the Holy Spirit to come and fill us. The Spirit is present already, but I'm going to pray asking the Spirit to fill us particularly for this day and in this moment. So if you're able, we close your eyes so we're not worried about what anyone else is thinking. And I would just invite you to hold out your hands in front of you in a gesture of sort of receiving, if you're comfortable doing that. Gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are the life giver and have revealed yourself to us in your kindness and mercy. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came and walked among us and gave your life and rose again and have ascended to the right hand of the Father, where you pray for us. Thank you that through what you did, we have life in all its fullness. Spirit of God, come and rest upon us. Fill us afresh, we pray. Refresh us. Revitalize us. Where there is a need for healing and wholeness, heal us, Lord. Make us whole. Fill our hearts with your light and your life and your peace and your health. Settle our thoughts. Strengthen us for this day. Give us a new understanding of what it means to be known by you, the living God. Spirit of God, bring comfort, bring strength, bring peace this day for all of us gathered here. For this we ask in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. Amen. Amen. Please do be seated.